Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Do you have many rabbits in your neighborhood, Patrick?
We do, Jim. As a matter of fact, the other day I was walking my pet fox and we saw Bill Mulligan chasing a rabbit through someone's yard.
That wasn't the same day you ate those mushrooms you found growing outside, was it?
Why, yes, it was. What a coincidence.
Okay, Patrick, it's springtime here in, well, I guess everywhere, but here in Northern Virginia where we are, it's springtime. And although it doesn't feel much like spring today, we're having a weird, windy and overcast kind of gloomy day. But the past few days have been beautiful, just beautiful.
Really have. Yesterday was gorgeous.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So I bring this up here on Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
I bring this up because, you know, spring is the start of baseball season.
Yes,
and
it is.
It leads into summer, you know, the boys of summer, all that kind of stuff. And we were just having a conversation the other day with our friend in Scotland, Stephen Routledge, who doesn't really know anything about baseball. But we were explaining how one of the great things about baseball in America is going to a game on a nice day, whether you're a hardcore fan, a casual fan, or not a fan at all. Going to the ballpark on a nice summer day is one of the best days you'll have all year.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Oh, yeah. Right? And that's what we were trying to convey to him. And so I bring this up because our guest today is a listener and patron of the pod, Noah Crane, who works in baseball. Hey, Noah.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Great to have you.
It's always great to have you. And I know you support the show and you want to come on and talk about music, but every time you're on, I just want to talk about baseball. So I don't know. Maybe that's a different show. We'll start sometime. But anyway.
Yeah, we need a new baseball podcast.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. So Noah, you run a college summer league, right? Do I have that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're called the Upper Valley Nighthawks. We play in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. We take college players from all over the country and bring them up here for a 44-game season over the months of June and July. Play with wooden bats. And it gives these players a foretaste of what professional baseball is like, and we use it as an entertainment vehicle for our fans. So play lots of great music, a lot of good food, a lot of good people, and a lot of fun.
It's great. I meant to say team, not league. Yes. And Noah has sent us cool, like, team merch.
Oh,
you know, we have these really nice hats and stuff.
They're cool hats.
Great. And also, I was looking at your team website the other day, and you are playing a season this year, right? Did last season get scrapped?
Yes. Last season got scrapped. Almost all of the college summer leagues got scrapped.
Yeah.
Ours included. But we are going to be playing this year, so it's exciting. I've got a ton of work to do to get ready, because we kind of made the decision late, and opening day for us is June 3rd.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of time left, but we will have a season, so that's good news.
That's cool. Awesome. And the season runs a couple of months?
It does. Last game of the regular season's August 1st.
Okay. Nice. And did I read this correctly? It's free admission? People can just walk in and go for free?
For this year, it is.
Okay.
We wanted to give back to the community in a way of saying, great job, everybody, for making it through a wild year.
Yeah.
And we just want people to come out, have a sort of celebratory atmosphere and a taste of normalcy. And that's what we hope to provide this summer.
Oh, that's so great. We got to get up there.
How far of a drive is it, Jim?
Yeah, exactly. We got to get up there, Patrick, up to New England.
I know. I seriously would do it.
If it took was free tickets to get you guys to come up, I would have given you those a long time ago.
Of course, that was before we spent a year in our basement.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's free tickets plus the thought of spending a nice day at a ballpark, you know? That's what I was just saying. I can't wait to get out of this.
I know it. And I want to say, as always, thanks to Noah for supporting us and being a great member of our community. But I do want to say something. I was looking at some of the episodes that Noah appeared on. And, you know, way back almost a year ago, Jim, Noah did an episode, came up with the idea to do an episode on the year 1991, albums from that year.
Yes.
And that has kind of caught on, like, you know, taking the year and picking out albums from that year. I'm not sure if Noah was the first to do it, but he was, you know, early on. It's really caught on amongst our community and patrons.
Yes.
So go back and listen to that, folks. It's episode 824, and we talked about R.E.M., Matthew Sweet, and U2 albums from 1991.
Oh, yeah.
So
I
go check
that
out.
That was great.
Yeah, it was a real good one.
Yeah, so you're right. Other patrons, when they get to pick the topic, they've done the same kind of thing. 97, we just did 78, 87 at one point in there. So yeah, lots of things. So we'll fill out that calendar, I think, over time.
We're working backwards to 1949. That's when I'll have expertise. I'll be ready.
Okay. So anyway, welcome again, Noah Crane. And tell us, what is the topic for today?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about a band that it maybe is better suited for Stephen Routledge to talk about. It's a Scottish band called Frightened Rabbit. And they founded in 2003, two brothers, Scott Hutchison and his brother Grant on drums. And they put out six albums over the course of 06 to 16. And I really think they're fantastic. And I don't feel like we've talked about them much at all on this pod. And so I thought our listeners would really enjoy them a great deal, as I do, and that there'll be people out there who haven't heard about them that would love to listen to them.
I think that's great. And, you know, it's interesting. By the time you've heard this, you've heard that we recently did an episode with the very aforementioned Stephen Routledge about a band that Jim and I didn't really know anything about. And I think it's great. And we just did a little thing that was in the sort of the vault for a long time on game theory as well. So I love these kind of things, you know, Jim, when we do these kind of overviews of, you know, a band and and learn about, you know, where they came from and just do an overview of your career. I think it's awesome.
It's so great. And this was a band that is a blind spot band for me. I didn't really know anything about Frightened Rabbit and only really heard of them because of the tragedy, you know, of a couple of years ago or 2-3 years ago, whatever it was. And even today, as I was like doing some reading, I was sort of like, man, I really don't know much of anything about this band. So I'm excited to hear Noah's perspective on this.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I know a little bit more, but not much. So I thought this band was something different. I thought this band was an American band, and now I know that's wrong. But I have here a CD mix I made at some point, and I know now it's got to be at least 11 years old, and I found it here. I'm holding it up for our guys. It's called iMactastic Volume 4.0. So definitely something I downloaded, you know, from a service or somewhere off the internet. But it's got two Frightened Rabbit songs on it. One is called Living in Color, which is an amazing song. And the other one's called Swim Till You Can't See Land. And I'm now realizing those are the only Frightened Rabbit songs I know.
Well, and since we're speaking of misconceptions here, one more thing I'll say is I also had this image because I knew this was like, you know, an indie band, relatively obscure, but sort of beloved, you know, had a beloved, you know, following, but also, you know, named Frightened Rabbit. And, you know, I read that got the name because of, you know, the singer was a shy person. So that's where the name Frightened Rabbit came from and everything. And then I'm listening and I was like, this does not sound at all like what I expected. I was expecting very sort of like lo-fi, you know, kind of introspective, kind of, you know, almost like bedroom recordings or something, right? And this has a big sound. This band has a big, you know, sound,
rock
right?
sound, man.
Fill a room, you know?
Yeah. Those two songs I mentioned are like pretty hard charging tunes with really upfront, you know, awesome vocals. Yeah. So,
all right, we're doing all the talking.
No, not supposed to work.
Noah, what would you like to say?
Noah, you're on for 30 minutes.
I'm just going to sit back and listen to you guys. That's what I do every day anyway. Yeah. All right. So nothing's changed. Yeah, I think you're right. There's, you know, for me, what I really enjoy about them is they have an ability to be rocky and they have ability to be kind of folky. They have ability to be atmospheric at times. And so they mix all of these things. But Jim, you're right. It's a good point. Is when you read about the backstory or you hear the name or you know that they're kind of an indie band, you think of something that's just a little more downbeat, a little more somber, a little slower. There's a whole lot of production in this. There's a whole lot of rock type songs. They've got some hard charging songs like a song called Holy, or even from their first album, a song called The Grays. Very hard charging, guitar driven stuff. But they also sound a little folky as well. And they mix all of that with some atmospheric tones as well. And it's just a cool mixture. And then when you put that on top of sort of the lyrical depth and the vulnerability that comes through in Hutchison's lyrics, that combination is really quite powerful. And one of the reasons I really enjoy this band a lot.
That's cool. So how did you get into Frightened Rabbit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was kind of thinking that through of when did I first hear them? You know, I'm not the best at finding unknown albums or bands. And so I'm pretty sure I heard this on the Spectrum on Sirius XM.
Oh, okay.
A song from their second album, which is Midnight Organ Fight, which came out in 2008. And it was probably Modern Leper. And it immediately hit me of, oh my goodness, this is amazing. I love this. It doesn't sound like anything else. You can hear other bands in it, but this is a sort of unique sound. And I loved that song immediately, went out, got the album, realized they had a prior album in Sing the Grays, which came out in 06, and then have followed them ever since. And I loved each output that they've had. I think I would say my favorite, I think it goes between Midnight Organ Fight and their last album, which is Painting of a Panic Attack. But I've enjoyed every one of them. And I think that they, sadly, have come to an end with the passing of Scott Hutchison. Mm. But the output they had in those 6 years was pretty prolific.
Okay. Did you ever get to like see them live or anything?
Unfortunately, I didn't. I know my brother did. They came to New York and he saw a show. It was them and Mumford & Sons played together, which is odd because Hutchison is on record as saying he hates that band. So I don't know how backstage went for that show.
Yeah.
But I unfortunately did not get to see them in concert. But from what I've read and from what I've heard, really good live band and just great fan interaction. I think what people say is that Hutchison's just a relatable character. He's a guy who struggled with depression, but yet was very open and very honest and could put forth glimmers of hope and humor instead of just being, you know, constantly depressed and sad. He would mix that very well, and people seem to connect really well with him.
Yes, so we're a lot of personal songs, a lot of relationship kind of songs, right? A lot of just sort of dealing with life, that kind of thing that I think made the band very relatable to anyone who has, you know, similar struggles. And that's, I think, for a lot of people, why we connect with music, right? Because it's, you know, it speaks to our own experiences in ways that we can't articulate.
Yeah, it does so in a way that connects with people. It doesn't, isn't preachy, isn't heavy-handed, isn't trying to create a persona. There's an authenticity in his lyrics that I think people gravitate towards. And he can do so with hope as well and with humor. And I think that's a nice balance that comes forth in their music of it's not just gloomy and sad. There are measures of humor and joy and wit and also hope that pervades through a lot of the albums.
Yeah. Okay. What's a song we should listen to?
I think the one that hits me the most, and it's hard because, you know, of Scott's passing, is he wrote a song called I Wish I Was Sober, which is on their last album, Painting of a Panic Attack in 2016. And it's pretty fantastic and really takes on sort of a sadder meaning when you realize what has transpired in his life and that the band is no longer. But that one's pretty brilliant.
Okay, let's hear that now.
Fall prey to the blizzard head, wrap my hand around the glass again. We all thought that I might change as I got older. Fell down and nothing bled, wrapped in cotton alcohol again. To the hilt I hear from the brick upon my shoulder. Free pour the fruitless thought, it's far too late to talk so much, but still not giving up, no wish that I was sober. Forgive me, I can't speak straight. Forgive me, I can't. Forgive me, it's far too late.
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty powerful song.
Yeah, excellent.
So would you say that one's a little bit different than their normal sort of work, though? You mentioned like this comes later and maybe it's a little more intense, I guess, in some ways, lyrically at least. Yeah,
lyrically it's certainly intense, but there's a theme of his depression that plays throughout all of their work. Like their first song on their first album, Sing the Grays, it talks about, you know, being gray. Like, why be blue when you can be gray? And but that is definitely a reoccurring theme. Certainly some of the more rocky stuff, like I would certainly suggest us listening to a song called Holy off of Pedestrian Verse. A lot more upbeat, a lot more rocky, guitar-driven, and almost anthemic in a way. So they mix those both in and out, and you know, that's what I like and appreciate about them. It's not a one-note band. They can have a song like we just listened to, but we can also have something that's a little bit more upbeat, a little more rocky.
Okay, so you said we should play Holy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is really good. This, what I hear in this myself is like there may be elements in this music of sort of like some sadness or despair, that kind of thing. But there's like hope in this music as well. You know, there's there's definitely a sense of like getting through these struggles and coming out hopefully in some better way. Although we know that real life doesn't always work out that way, obviously.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting, though, you mentioned why be, you know, blue when you can be gray. And it's interesting, this song that I love so much, the Living in Color song, has a line that goes, I was paler than a pine box that holds bones. She poked the iris, then pierced the hole and watched the color rush forth. So it's really interesting, you know, at least on the surface, the way, you know, there's a contrast between color and paleness or lack of color, maybe is a better way to put it. And illness in the songs, and you can kind of hear, you know, that same thing. And this song has the Living in Color song. We can play a little bit of that too if you guys want. And yeah. I mean, I love the line, "The Winter of Mixed Drinks," for one thing. It's such a great line and a great title for an album. But it mentions water, color, paleness, and then also swim till you can't see land. Kind of eerie, and got those same kind of images. And I don't want to say it's necessarily a philosophy, but it's kind of a point of view, I guess, or an outlook. And I think with his voice too, you know, hearing that song especially, it's got this kind of world weary, haunted quality to it. And I think, you know, maybe part of that is from his accent a little bit and the way he sings. He doesn't, you know, try to sing in an American style. You can still hear that accent coming through. So all that together, I don't know, it just gives you this vision of like the Scottish coastland, you know, windswept and raw. And it really grabs you.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, Patrick, because the Winter Mixed Drinks, that album, they recorded on the coast of Scotland. He actually said he wrote most of the music sitting near the coast, looking out over the water.
Wow, that's cool.
So it's cool that you picked up on that. And certainly water is a theme for a lot of British writers and Scottish writers, knowing that they live on an island. And this is something that is recurrent in a lot of their music, is the theme of water. Talk about the Firth in the last in the Midnight Organ Fight album is a song about that, and so you see this a lot in their writing.
Very interesting. And here I was thinking they were like from Brooklyn or something. <It's> way off.
So you're recommending Living in Color?
Yeah, if you want to hear some of that, it's great. I really like this one, and it's got kind of like we heard with Holy, it's got kind of that pulse that it's like a churning kind of underneath of it. That's very cool.
All right, I do want to hear this.
Weeks gone by, I was weak, I was paler than a pine box and holds bones. She poked the iris, then she pierced the hole and watched the color rush forth. Modern Madonna, who held my head in warm hands with pink nails. Mop my mouth, who whispered that the sickness will go away. Living in color, living in color, I can see it in your toes. Living in color, living even in the black earth.
That to me has a certain like Scottish flavor to it, right? Like you could definitely hear that in that song.
And the other thing I just remembering now that I love about that song is the way they repeat like the first syllable or a word when they're singing, like living in color, living in color. I think that's so brilliant to accent, you know, to like double that up, and it gives it that rolling kind of almost like a bagpipe, you know, kind of feel to it. It's amazing.
There's something to that like sort of rhythm and that feel that gives it that
it's got a little of that Proclaimers kick to it, you know, where the voices are massed together as well. Man, I love that song. All right. Such a great song.
Wow, that's cool.
But my vocabulary is limited on their other work. But I was going to ask Noah, where would you recommend I guess I'm going to start with listening to the rest of the Winter Mixed Drinks album, but where would you recommend, you know, a complete newbie start?
Yeah, I would go to Midnight Organ Fight, which is sort of their beloved 2008 album. And it comprises all of these sorts of themes and things that we've been talking about in just a brilliant way. It's nearly a perfect album. It's pretty incredible. And it is a great entry point for anyone who is interested about this band to listen to. I mean, part of it for me is, you know, I could listen to him sing The Phone Book with that voice. The Scottish brogue is just so fantastic.
Yep.
You know, there are other musicians who come from the UK or come from Scotland and you'd never know. Listen to Simple Minds and you're like, where is this guy from? I'm not really sure. But he doesn't hide it at all. You know that this guy's from Scotland. And I think that's part of the beauty of it. And more, too, is much like the Smiths, I think one of the brilliance of the Smiths was they could write about sad, depressing things, but they paired it with an upbeat musical style.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's that contrast of, if you read the lyrics, like, whoa, this is kind of dark. He's talking about being in a pine box and bones.
Yeah.
But yet the pace of the music is peppy and upbeat, and you listen to it in your car, and it's exciting and energizing. But it's that contrast that is really quite brilliant that the Smiths did so well. That I think that these guys do as well.
That's a great point. I mean, you know,
well said.
It makes it so that, like I said, you do get some sense of like hopefulness out of the music that you don't get with, say, like, and I love artists like this, but like an Elliott Smith or, you know, a Vic Chestnut or somebody like that, where it's just so heavy all the time. And you're just, this is not quite like that. This, you know, gives you a different sort of feeling about the pain and the struggles that the artist is or the protagonist or whatever is going through, right?
Really interesting. I'm reading here about the record, and it looks like in August of 2020, I don't know when it was released, but there was an entire cover album done of this album, I guess. That's amazing. And it's got Craig Finn. It's got Benjamin Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. It's got Julian Baker. It's got a lot of people. And even Sarah Silverman, somehow makes an appearance on this record. It's kind of amazing. So that must be a tremendously loved record for all these people to cover it track by track. So cool.
Yeah, it's a beloved record. So there's that piece to it. But they wanted to do something for Scott in his memory.
Oh,
and they've created kind of a fund and a foundation. There's a quotation from one of the songs off of Midnight Organ Fight called Heads Roll Off. And he says, "While I'm alive, I'll make tiny changes to Earth." And that was kind of his mantra. And they took that up as, this is a way that we can honor his legacy with this amazing album, but then also use the sales of it to fund charities for people who are struggling with mental health and depression. And so it's sort of this double whammy of a really cool album with a lot of incredible musicians and then doing some good with it as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. Love that.
And Scott Hutchison, rest in power, died in 2018. But the music lives on. That's what we always say, right?
And it's interesting too, listening to Noah's origin story. You know, we just got done putting together a little thing on the band Game Theory, whose singer also, his life ended too soon, tragically. But it's interesting, Noah, that you heard Frightened Rabbit on the radio, because I mean, I know satellite radio opened up a lot of, you know, boundaries and opportunities, you know, probably that, you know, weren't there in the 80s, but that was the thing with Game Theory. There was never that song on the radio, even on college radio, that one, you know, or from, you know, whatever that people could get, that would be the hook to pull them in, right? And to get into all the rest of their records. So it's interesting that happened to you. That's important, I think, even nowadays. And I guess, you know, mix playlists are now the, you know, the way we get hooked, or what your most played song is on Spotify. You know, it kind of becomes that one song people sample and maybe get hooked on or maybe don't. I don't know what that is for Frightened Rabbit, but I just love hearing origin stories about how people got into their favorite bands.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much, Noah. This has been a great topic.
Great.
Yeah, glad to do it. Glad to see you guys.
And if people would like to become a patron of the show, go to patreon.com/suburbspod. Mm-hmm. If any listeners out there are Frightened Rabbit fans and would like to comment on that, we can follow up with another episode with folks, comments and so on. You can call, leave a message so we hear your voice, 612-440.
1984.
There you go. Or you can email rock@suburbspod.com, or you can comment on our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram pages. Those are all Suburbs Pod. Okay.
You can also do what I'm doing, which is search Frightened Rabbit discs and LPs on Discogs.
I wouldn't have it any other way, Patrick.
That's right.
Okay. Do you have a song for us to play out with here, Noah?
Let's play out with Old Old Fashioned.
All right. Old Old Fashioned sounds good.
Love it.
Frightened Rabbits, The Midnight Organ Fight. Thanks again. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Noah Crane.
All right. Good luck this baseball season.
Thanks, guys.
Great summer. Hit a lot of home runs. All right. We'll talk to you all later.
Oh, let's get old fashioned, back to how things used to be. If I get old, old fashioned, to get old, old fashioned for me.
A band called Grand Champion, City Goats, Modest Mouse, and Guns N' Roses.
Oh, and Guns N' Roses. Okay.